been so long since we last talked.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to be, more so than usual, I'm going to be hydrating throughout. So if you hear a glass knock against the mic, don't be startled, Mark. It's just me hydrating, because that is important when you are recovering from a throat infection, of course.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
I took a big swig of water, so I should be good to go.
Delicious. We're keeping it healthy this time round, because the only thing that's unhealthy are these chapters to our state of mind. Oh my goodness. They're really quite terrible. What's up, Hero fans? My name's Luke, and I am here to welcome you to Hero Notes, the My Hero Academia Recap Podcast, the podcast that aims to go beyond and recap all those chapters from the My Hero Academia manga by Koei Horikoshi. And on this week's episode, against all the odds, listeners, oh my goodness, we had some slight, it's not technical difficulties, because it was technical difficulties of the body, because I was a little sick, had a little throat trouble, had a little ouchy ear action going on. It wasn't very fun. At the start of the week, we weren't so sure if we were going to be able to record this little episode. That's why nothing was posted on Monday on the Twitter. Eagle-eyed viewers might have noticed that. But against all the odds, we're here. We're gonna do it live, even though we're recording right now, because we've got two chapters that maybe they just didn't want to be reviewed, Mark. And I could see why with the status of them after reading them for this. Oh my goodness! But we are here to review them nonetheless. Isn't that right, my friend and co-host extraordinaire, Batman Beyond Mark?
That sure is correct, Luke.
Oh boy!
So excited for these chapters. In fact, I'm so excited.
Oh.
I can't wait for the two new volumes to come out next week so I can read something else.
Wasn't that just that?
Then next week's chapters.
Flawless segue production straight into housekeeping from the intro. Oh my goodness. Yes, Mark is correct.
I was bound to get better at this at some point.
We do have two new volumes dropping. Well, I would say perhaps on your doorstep, Mark, because you've got them ordered already, don't you? And they've shipped, apparently. Oh, my goodness. Or on the digital doorstep, Mark. Oh, my goodness. That's what I like to do. But, yes, that is My Hero Academia Volumes 24. And, you know, shout out to the main series. It's been a while since we've had, it's been even longer since we've had a Vigilante
volume. I was about to say, it's been even longer since we've had Vigilantes.
Oh boy.
Wasn't it over 8 months?
I mean, who's counting? Who's counting, really, at the end of the day?
Me.
Mark it on the calendars, my goodness. Yes, it's been a while, because, you know, sometimes it be like that. And sometimes they just got to push all them new Demon Slayer volumes out. Yikes. We're not a Demon Slayer podcast, Mark. What is it? What's going on? My goodness. Yeah, but yes, we have a My Hero Academia Volume 24 and a My Hero Academia Vigilantes Volume 7, both dropping on June 2nd, which is mere days away at time of recording. Oh my goodness. Cannot wait. And I would say that you can find a cheeky link for both of these fine published materials in the show notes of this very episode. But for some reason, Viz Media has not published a cheeky preview on their website, which is boggling, because how are we supposed to, you know, pimp out the new volumes, Mark? I'm confused.
Exactly. How are you supposed to review them for the Weird Science DC Comics website?
I'm just saying. It'd be pretty hard reviewing 20 pages, you know. I'd have to wait until I purchase the volume myself there, Mark. Oh my goodness. But yes, it's quite odd. But you know what? At time of recording, there might not be any previews, but who knows what'll happen in the days ahead. And keep an eye out.
At the time of posting.
Oh boy. You know, they are gonna, I'm telling you, as soon as I, like, soon as we close this call, they are going to have those previews up straight away, and I'm going to be eating a big load of humble pie. Oh no. And I'm already full, Mark. Oh my goodness.
I now want pie.
You can stick your fork into these two chapters, because they need to be done. They need to be out of my life pretty soon, I'll tell you about that. After that, we will also have, because I forgot to tell it, I was getting so animated in our intro, we will also have our final thoughts on the volume itself, Mark. Believe it or not, we're at the end of volume 17. What a roller coaster ride of emotions it has been, but yes, we are at the end.
It's been a single emotion.
Oh,
what are you talking about?
Oh, boy. It's been an experience, and yes, we will get to that too, eventually, no doubt. But first of all, we have My Hero Academia, chapter 157, The Power of Those Saved, which is not me or you, Mark, because we have to go into these, oh my goodness. Written and drawn by Koei Horikoshi, and it was first published in Weekly Shonen Jump, issue 46, way, way back in 2017. And my app has decided to close. Oh, yes, we are here. Number 156, The Power of Those Saved. We are outside the Yakuza stronghold base thingy. And there's a lot of huffing and puffing. And somebody shouts, "All right, we're getting a late start, but it's time for us to move." And we find out that it's Ryukyu and the gang, all the girls. And who is it that they've captured here? Big Cheerios himself. It's been a long time coming, Mark, but yes, he is here.
In fact, it's been such a long time coming. We're going to find out that this scene takes place roughly 20 minutes before where we ended last chapter. Though we don't start out with that, that's a thing we get told partway in. Because I'm assuming when we start that it's like, oh wow, it took him a long time.
They start fighting this guy before any of this...
I would say at the very beginning, because his attack started
okay,
the whole thing.
But like, it must have been one heck of a battle. I sure would have liked to see some of it, at least. Oh,
as,
my goodness.
You know, it didn't. This probably took him a minute or two.
Oh boy. But we do get a little breakdown. Apparently, Sue says he went down easily, considering his size. I don't know. How long did it take for him to go down? And then Dragon Lady Ryukyu says that this guy is apparently called Rikiya Katsukami, and he can breathe in the vitality of anyone he touches, and then he gigantifies after he eats his big Cheerios. It'd be best to get him into isolation while he's still unconscious. And apparently there's a hiya, a wah, and a r. There's a lot of shouting going on over there. That's bad for your throat. And Nedry says, "Sounds like there's a lot of fighting inside. We better hurry." And then they go, go, go. But then they're woozy, woozy. Oh no, everybody's sleepy. Because Big Cheerios has activated his super huff, bop, bop ability. Apparently, because those are the sound effects that we're getting here. And the cops are... they've seen better days. They're looking awfully sleepy. Somebody get them a hot water bottle, because they're going to Sleepy Town. And then Big Cheerios is huffing it all in. This weird steam energy. And he's saying, "Ow." And then Ryuki's very, you know, shocked, understandably. And she says, "What's going on? He should be out cold." And then Big Cheerios gets up, and he breaks through those little, like, villain concealment binder things that they put on everybody. It didn't hold him, and he's bulging, and he says, "That quirk booster I got from Irinaka's finally kicking in."
And I'm going to stop you right there. First of all, Irinaka was the manager inside. He's the one with all the room
in
stuff,
Wibbly
correct?
Wobbly Wall, man, yeah.
Yes. So this is another forced plot point right here that I absolutely hate.
Ruh-roh.
So every single... other time in the entire franchise, this includes Vigilantes, this includes the main book, this includes every piece of official side material.
What about school briefs?
I'm not sure if it comes up in school briefs, actually. And I'm not saying that insulting. It's just like how often – like I don't think quirk boosters come up in that one.
I don't think so, no.
And I believe this also includes, at least in like one or two strips, Smash. Every time we've seen anybody use a quirk booster or enhancer, it activates, or it, like it activates in the system in a second or two after taking it, if not instantaneously, every single time, including the one that Irinaka used in this current arc.
On himself?
Yes. Mm. So that this one has a massive time delay, and then they never again is there ever mention of a time delay or anything like that. That makes this a forced plot point. That makes this breaking your mechanics.
It makes it messy, is what it makes it.
It makes it messy. It's very, very convenient that he was given the only time delayed one ever. Why would you want a time delayed one?
Shouldn't you be like,
he's the front guard. He should be the guy who, sure, there's a lot of them. Some are going to get past him.
Well, like,
but he should go in and he should be trying to take out and do as much damage as possible.
Firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
Not
that's the entire point of it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to end up keeping them busy for about 20 minutes. With this, why in the world, like, would you give him the only one in the entire franchise that stalls, that doesn't work immediately, so you can take out the back guard as the main force is destroying your building? It doesn't make any sense. It's a forced plot point, and it really starts this chapter off on an incredibly terrible note, because the entire result of this is just, I need a way to keep these characters in place.
Occupied.
I didn't set up, in place and occupied, and I didn't set up a good one when I was doing this initial part. So, I'm going to say it hadn't taken full effect yet, even though every other time anything has been mentioned like this in the entire franchise, even that helmet in the movie, almost instantaneous. Every quirk enhancer has been nearly, if not instantaneous, except for this one, because the plot demanded it. And I hate it.
Oh boy. Oh boy. But apparently, all he has to do is breathe. All I gotta do is breathe ellipses to suck in your power. Which, you know. Why wasn't he doing that earlier? But I don't know. Crash. Now I'm feeling as good as new. Big Cheerios back at it again. And about 20 minutes later, Mark, we have a time jump.
And by the way, this is the first time we've had a time jump that's in like our omniscient narrator speech patterns.
Oh.
In the sense of no box. You know, fun conventions there. I want to point out that it's like we see like Ryukyu protecting pretty much everybody else and some of the other police officers. The only one who's really fighting him at this point is Nejiri, because she never touched him because she's a range fighter. And one of the police officers is like, this is getting old. And then I guess one of the police officers or Ryukyu's elbow says meow, meow. But there's even the kitty police officer. He's not there.
Oh,
like he is not there. He's not in any of their pages because he's our good detective.
Tsukuchi's right-hand man.
He's Tsukuchi's assistant. Yeah. And he's not here. So just for whatever reason, just this normal guy is saying meow, meow, or Ryukyu's elbow is saying meow, meow. I don't understand. I'm confused. It's dumb. And it.
That might be a good.
These two pages are taking me out of what's happening to be like, what the heck?
That might be a good subtitle for the, you know, Hero Notes episode, 84, meow, meow. Ellipses. There you go. That sums up our thoughts, really, pretty well.
And then Ryukyu thinks, I'd help these people escape, but they don't have enough energy or have enough strength to stand. And then she just yells, Nejiri! And then we finally get a breakdown for Nejiri.
Oh, wow. Nejiri Hado, her quirk is wave motion, as we see some waves motion going from flowing, what waves do? Bwam! And they hit Big Cheerios. And then Big Cheerios, he loses some respect points, honestly. I love this guy, but he's a bit creepy here, so minus points to Big Cheerios, because he says, the booster's worn off, so just let me touch you, cutie. No thanks. No thanks. That's what Nedry
says. Yeah, and the thing I'm now curious about, because he's saying, oh, it needs to be touch activated. Mm. So was it not, and this might just be a poor clarification point for Horikoshi, or me just not entirely misunderstanding. Was it something where he can only do it to anybody he's currently touching? Because they definitely say to anyone he touches. And that, you know, there's ways you can use that in present, post, or past tense, and whatever, or future tense. But the point is I didn't realize it was something where it's like, oh, I have to be touching you to do this, as opposed to, oh, I have to just touch you to do it. And then the fact that the quirk booster, like, now he's able to do it to these people, doesn't mean that they've touched him, and he's just choosing to do it now, even though he was out cold. But it seems like him, like... I don't know.
That was like an upgrade, like, to his gathering energy ability. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but now the fact that the booster's wearing off, he's like, hey, can you get over here so I can use my quirk on you? And I'm like, okay. So is that saying that before you it was a range thing, like after you used the booster? Or is it something where now the booster's done and you're not quite as giant? Or, like, I don't know. It's just very unclear.
But we do get the continuation of the quirk breakdown. Apparently, she converts her own energy into shockwave attacks, which is great, but they tend to corkscrew, making them really slow, as we kind of see them corkscrewing in that panel above. So there you go. That's infinite potential of Nedry Haro's power. And then we see Uraraka in the background. We see Uraraka looking, and somebody shouts Uraraka in the background, and zoom in, enhance, it's Deku, what's going on? And Deku points, and he says, we need backup, the target's directly under that crossroads over there, the pros aren't making any headway in this fight, we need help. And then...
Question. When did she get Deku's blood? Was it at the... It was at the test, correct? The license test?
I don't know. When did who get Deku's... What are you implying here?
No. This is a relevant thing.
Yes.
Because she always has the clothes on that they were wearing when she took the blood, correct?
Didn't she get that full vial of Deku's blood in the license exam?
Yeah, I could have sworn she got like a drop or two or something like that.
No, I think it was a full vial. I thought she got a decent little.
But regardless, she got that during the first part of the test, so the badges should be on her.
Don.
Because the clothes become part of the outfit.
Oh, so my.
The clothes are damaged.
Oh my goodness.
She's damaged. We've seen that before. So shouldn't he have the badges on him?
I still don't know what you're... Isn't this just Deku? I don't know who the, this she business is.
No. Luke, answer my question. If she took it at that point, shouldn't he have those badges on him?
I mean, you're 100% factually correct right now, Mark. I think it's
okay.
I think that just
hit me.
Artistic goof detected. I think
it just hit me that I'm like, wait, if she took it then it Oops. Should what? Can she control what moves show up? Because I feel like that's never been a thing.
Did she caught him during the whole Lock Rock dealie? Did she? I don't know. I can't remember.
You know what? Maybe she did.
But she hadn't used that, like, blood that she had obtained since, like, this is the first time she's transformed into Deku at all, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll continue
sorry,
on.
Sorry for the interruption. I was just like, wait a minute. Is this...
I don't understand what's
happening.
I'm confused. But yes, we do see, and maybe we'll find out what we mean by she later on, Mark. Oh my goodness, we have to keep this a mystery for the listeners. Wow. But yes, we do see, even though they've all probably read it, we do see the girls in the Ryukyu agency getting right down to business straight away with a zoosh and a slam. Ryukyu, like, kind of... like, just checks Big Cheerios right in the belly, and he goes, ouch, that was a big slam, and she says, everyone, listen carefully, Ravity, make him float, and then, in a pretty, like, let's be honest, this is a pretty janky panel, like, what, this is a bit rough, Ravity runs in, I don't know if it's like a very small Aravity or if Big Cheerios just got really huge. It's an odd perspective. But she,
honestly, it looks like he's really huge because compared to Ryukyu, but.
And what's going on with Aravity? I'm confused. I know, like, you know, one panel, big whoop, but it's a bit odd. But we do see that she touches him, and then he floats, and then Froppy gets the tongue action and grabs him around the neck, it seems, and gets them moving, which is just what Ryukyu ordered her to do. And she says, well, she doesn't say anything, but she keeps going. And then she tells Nedry, give us everything you've got. And Big Cheerios is so confused. And he's like, how can you still move? And,
because the plot requires it.
Because it's pretty
otherwise,
cool as well.
Otherwise, they'd be down and out like the police officers.
Can't the girls just have, they just want
to
have some
fun? I would love for them to have this. But the problem is the overall writing.
Can't they take the W home just once?
Nedry's not affected by this. She can absolutely take the W.
Well, that's because she's a queen, last time I checked. Oh, my
goodness. Just point it out. It's like, she's the only one who... And maybe Ryukyu, because she probably has a lot more stamina than, you know, the police or the other sidekicks. But just...
They're doing their best.
Well, the fact that Floppy and Ravity are now, like, completely unaffected, while Ryukyu is still affected, and the police are still affected, I'm just like, I'm sorry, what?
It's the power of the WoW woman, Mark. It just energizes you. Wow. But yes.
It's the anime, I guess they're not protagonists, but it's the anime supporting characters doing what the anime protagonist does, where they're like, oh, you know that all that damage you inflicted on me? Like, I'm just gonna get rid of that, and we're good.
Temporary protagonist glow-up action right here. But yes, they all say together, like we're always saying, plus ultra, boom, as they, oh, Big Cheerios comes crashing down in what is a repeat, or, you know, basically the scene that we ended last week's chapter on.
Yep.
They all come crashing down. And Midoriya is very surprised. And he's like, Ryukyu? And the both of you, too, apparently, as we saw last week, actually, Nedry isn't there yet because she's still above. She's the one that hit him with the wave. So, yes, she's still above ground. So we do get an explanation of that, I suppose. But, yes, Thum, Big Cheerios, is down as he says, and then Aravity and Froppy land and they're both confused. Aravity is like, Deku? Wait, so who was that other Deku? Who was it, Mark? I don't know. Oh my goodness, it was Toga of the League of Villains. She, the whole time, was Deku. That's very surprising.
And did Nedry just disappear from the story?
Oh, I think so.
Like, I'm flipping through the next chapter. Which is the same thing that happened to Muriel.
Uh-oh.
Like, Sun Eater, I'm flipping through and I'm like, okay, does she appear in like even the background of later stuff?
She should literally
like,
be right above them right now.
Yes, that's what I was going to bring up. It's like, right no, she them. Should be right above them. She should see them. She should absolutely be able to take them out.
You could be like one wave,
with a,
knock
with like
all three
a
of them.
Single attack.
Yeah.
No, she's just completely gone. She's just completely gone for the rest of the volume.
Oh no.
Oh no. She should be right above them.
Maybe she heard about that coffee break that was happening last week, and she was like, "I need to get some of them."
Oh my
biscuits.
God! No, she's just completely gone. They have a flag person who's right over, who docked this guy into the hole. She's right over the hole, and the League of Villains is just chilling out there, like watching all the carnage, and she should be right over them, and she's just not there.
And it's like she's clearly, like she's the fact that even Midoriya says. And the both of you too, like that's two people. Like,
yes,
there is no way
clear
she's in
indication.
That hole.
We're getting a clear indication of how many people are here.
And it's not Nedry. What happened? What happened? Oh, she gets to do so little as it is.
I didn't notice that before. I can tell you that's my score is dropping.
Uh-oh. Are we going into the negatives on this one? My goodness.
No, negatives would imply that I'm not sure if we could do... negatives would be, like, they came in and they sent people in to, like, take away these volumes from us.
Oh, yes.
They like, somehow removed them from the world, just in their consciousness. Like, that would
subtracted
be a negative.
Subtracted the volumes. Oh, no.
I'm not sure if I could give lower than a one. Like, I'm not even sure what that would be, but like a one would be like, this is released material that is just like, there's nothing here. Like,
non-existent.
Like, you gave me an entire volume of just blank pages with the names stamped on it in couple pages.
At least if it was just a blank pages, you'd give that a one, because, like, you know, draw your own hero.
I'd be like, well, you gave me a page.
You know, you give me materials to create, so that's a one, at least, you know? If it was marketed as, like, a full volume of story, then I'd be disappointed. But I would also be like, you know, get the pencils out, have a bit of fun, draw that 1B spin-off.
This works for American comic book covers to have blank ones, so that you can go to convention and do you a sketch.
Sketch covers. Not a whole volume, though. That would probably be
correct.
Bad. Whoops. Where's that coloring book, though? I'd be all about that. But yes, we do see the League of Villains have shown up. What? And we do see Midoriya Toga in the transformation, gloopy mid-transformation action, as Toga says, as she's laughing hysterically, the plan was to toss the people up above down into the hole. What about Nedry? Who would have thought we'd bump into you, Ochako? More like plus chaos, I'd say. Oh my good golly gosh. And also, Mr. Compress is here out of nowhere. He says, put some clothes on. You're getting this old man all flustered. Oh no. And then we get... Really, I don't know about you, Mark, but I found this all quite confusing. So we see Mr. Compress here, and he says, so you made a copy of me in order to dig your way out. And then we see kind of like how it happened. So apparently, Twice made a little, he produced a little Mr. Compress when they were still underground. And they used him, I don't, like, did he dig up to above ground with his, like, his compressibility?
Think about Minecraft digging up. You don't dig straight up.
Right.
You kind of dig at, like an angle. So he was, like, making circle. Basically, they compress a circle, compress another circle, climbing.
Yes, okay. And then once he got to the surface, Toga transforms into Izuku. Twice says, there's more. Listen up, mister. Until now, we couldn't get close to the kid at the center of all this, and it didn't seem like we could beat Overhaul on a full-on fight. Lucky for us, those heroes showed up when they did. And then we just get a bunch of speech bubbles, but you're kind of able to tell who it is. The child at the center of all this, that's Mr. Compress. And then Twice says, or Twice, this could be Twice or Toga, they say, yeah, so jump down there and nab her. And poor Mr. Compress is like, huh? These are our original bodies, and you're a copy, so you should take the risk here. And he's like, huh?
I mean, that's not...
It's not incorrect.
Incorrect logic.
But you could put it in a nicer way, really. I know they're villains, but oh my gosh, you know? But he goes, huh? Is getting revenge for my arm part of your plus chaos? And then one of them goes, oh, you're just a copy. Get down there before anyone else shows up. Well, what's the problem? And then poor Mr. Compress, you know, fair play. At least he does it. As he jumps down and he says, this is terrifying, you psychos. I was a fool to think you had a kind-hearted bone between the two of you. Unlucky. And then everybody turns around. And Ryukyu's like, the League of Villains. And Urak is like, or Uravity, hero names only. She's like, what's going on? And then Froppy says, Uravity. And then Nighteye is in a bad way. Is this Deku shouting, get Nighteye to safety, as he runs towards...
It's poorly done, but I'm pretty sure that's him yelling that.
Yes, so Froppy spots Sir Nighteye in a bad way. And then... Deku's already running in, and he says, get Nighteye to safety, I gotta save a girl. And as he goes, oh, he's so close, but yet so far away, because big spiky action going on here, and it looks like It looks like it clocks him, like, is that his head knocked back? Like, it looks like it.
You know, I can't tell if it's his head knocked back or if it's just a bad angle. I honestly, it's not easy to tell.
Because if it was that spiky, you would have, like, you would imagine. And if it knocked his, I don't know, like, that would have been a big youch moment, I think. But, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And Eri, like, she goes flying. Get herself a parachute at this stage, yikes. And Mr. Compress is there. I mean, he's just, like, what? He's just there in a panel. He's been blocked. He's been blocked by this, too, is basically what's, I think, trying to be put across here. And then we see Overhaul. He's the guy who did all this. And then Midoriya is really angry, and he shouts, Chisaki! I'm not going to shout it because I don't want to damage my throat for this nonsense. And then, whoa! It all comes flying up as Overhaul makes the big tower, and Eri's flying towards him. And then he grabs Eri, and then he's like, "You've made a mess of things, you scum." He's not happy. And then the tower is just getting bigger and bigger, and Midori's thinking, he used the ground below, the cracked parts, to make this tower of power. He's trying to get out through the hole above. And then Midoriya says, "Not a chance," in what is a pretty cool panel. He leaps up with his, you know, he's got his what's the filter energy going on here.
He's gradienting.
We do have a couple of, you know, lightning bolts going on, crackling energy going on here. And he's thinking, gotta save her this time, for sure. And then Overhaul's like, persistent. And then something happens. I don't know.
It's just all of a sudden you see an Amaterasu from Naruto.
Whoa.
Like Black Flame. Just, it's there for some reason. I'm like, why the heck is Sasuke here?
It just appears.
Or why the heck is Itachi here? And then it's just there. But then it's not really that. It's really Mirio's cape stuck in a rock.
I don't remember it being that, you know, heavily inked.
It's just confusing.
Yes.
And then I immediately have a thought. I immediately have a thought that's going to taint the rest of this page.
Never a
good
sign.
The rest
sign
of this chapter.
Never a good sign.
Where's Nejiri? She should literally be right here.
Like,
she should be able to...
Right,
to, like,
this guy.
Like, well, I guess that really more applies in just a second. But then we just get a weird thing where she, like, reaches for it. Like, where we have... So who is this saying this out loud? Did it get thrown in the air?
That's Overhaul.
And then we see Eri kind of just, you know, reach out for it. And then the narrator tells us, it's just floating words. She didn't reach out for it consciously. And then she thinks back of the reason heroes wear capes is to wrap up and protect little girls in pain. And then just floating words. I don't know if this is supposed to be the narrator. This is thing Lobelian said. What? But then just her quirk starts activating, and just floating words of "but all the same." And then we see that her quirk is activating, and she's literally splitting Overhaul apart. And just he thinks with the same type of floating word bubbles or floating words, it can't be. And then he has a flashback of my daughter. You remember her, Chisaki. And he's like, talking with like the big boss.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, you had a falling out, over her marriage and she left the family. And then we get this flashback over again. Like, you know, like the daughter, like his daughter just abandoned, his granddaughter, saying that, you know, she killed my husband. She's a curse. She's a pest. And it just apparently reverted to her husband into her father into nothing. It's a mutation, blah, blah. We've seen this page before. Or we've seen all these before. Where it's like, this is one of those random things that has nothing to do with, you know, quirks on either side of the family. Not sure really what it is, but this is your kind of thing. It's similar, in a way, it's similar to your stuff. Take a look. And then him realizing, oh, wow, it just erases people. And then we see her split Overhaul and what's his face?
Right-hand man. Sasaki? No, he was the drinker guy.
No, Tom. No, it starts with an N.
And
always reminds
Nemoto,
me.
Nemoto.
Nemoto. And then we get her quirk. It's a quirk that rewinds. And he's like, this is terrifying. And this is the entire time I'm thinking, it's like, okay.
Oh.
Okay. Nedry, you're right there. You should be able to swoop up and pick up the girl or take him out because he can't activate his quirk if he's unconscious. And he's like not doing well because he's just been literally ripped apart. You are right there, Nedry. You are right there. And everything else that happens is, well, no. But she should be.
She should be
right there.
It's because Horikoshi's forgotten she exists.
It didn't fit the plot, and he didn't think of it. He didn't care. I don't know. All I know is that because we have just randomly forgot about this one character and where they were at this point, despite them being very heavily involved and important at the beginning of this chapter, everything else that's about to happen is all because her character just completely disappears from the story for a reason that is never explained. And it's like, what? Like, no, this is dumb. This is actually bad. And I hate it. But then we have we have narration again, and it's in square bubbles this time. The first time she attempted to run, she realized there was no getting away from him. She soon gave up. She spent her days as a captive getting carved up. And it's like, oh, that hurts, blah, blah, that flashback with the stuff. And then we see her sleeping in her room, and it's like that terrifying power she didn't even know how to wield. She blamed herself for being born with such a thing. All she could do was accept her cursed fate. And then we get flashback stuff where it's like, but Lemillion's actions caused something in her broken spirit to stir. It pained her, and it's be consistent with your narrator. Also, why is there a narrator?
It's narration bad. Back at it again.
It pained her to see her. Well, I mean, this series is not accustomed to a narrator that we don't know who it is. If the implication this is Midoriya, how does he know these things? Or future Midoriya, how does he know these things? It pained her to see her would-be saviors getting hurt. And even if it is, it doesn't have his voice.
Yeah, it's not him.
She thinks no more. I never wanted any of you to die. I'm not making fun of her. I'm making fun of just the overall writing of this story, this particular arc, because it's bad.
My goodness.
But these people, and now they're no longer in boxes, by the way. But these people wouldn't give up, even if it killed them. And we just have a panel. It's a big white panel, only words in it. I guess that's the panel is the box.
It's a big box.
I guess.
Big box.
Fair enough. It's a waste of space. Allowing a new feeling to bloom inside her. And then this one is just floating as Midoriya is going for her. The feeling of needing to be saved awakened in her. This one's in a box. That's the end of the chapter.
Good
dear
for
God,
her.
God. It's done.
Good for her.
We never have to read that chapter again, Luke.
I don't think you like that one.
No, I liked it less and less once I realized, wait, where's Nedry? Why is she not here? That breaks the entire plot.
Oh no. That really just
like more than anything, that breaks the flow of like the events taking place. Like we just have a character who just is gone because she would solve the plot. Like she would keep the plot that he wants to do from happening.
In one or two,
despite
hits.
The fact that he put her in this situation, and then so she's gone because otherwise she would solve everything.
It's quite astounding, like how significant, like enough to get a quirk breakdown, like enough to play a significant role, to just be downright removed, to be Thanos snapped out of existence, right? Like it's bizarre, but. We've got another chapter, Mark. Oh my goodness! Why don't we just jump in? Okay. So next up, as the hits just keep on coming, we have My Hero Academia, chapter 157, Infinite 100%. Whoa! Written and drawn by Koei Horikoshi, and it was first published in Weekly Shonen Jump issue 47 in 2017. Mark, I should point out that is percent written. Like, not as a symbol, as that is the word, percent. Oh,
it is.
You know it's serious business then. Oh, my goodness. But yes, we open, unfortunately, continuing right where we left off. And it's the big magic tower action going all the way up to the sky. Nedry's on her coffee break. She doesn't know what's going on.
Yep, we get a clear view of the sky. No Nedry.
No Nedry. No Nedry.
We also see Mr. Compress, his clone right there. Or is that
No, that's Nemoto.
No, that's Nemoto.
That's Nemoto about to...
Yeah, we just see Nemoto falling.
Presumably fall to his death, which is...
Yeah. Which I don't care.
I mean, unlucky.
I care so little about any of the characters in this book now.
Oh, no. But unlucky, yes. And Midori's grabbed Eri. Oh, my goodness.
And Overhaul hasn't realized she's left yet.
Whoops.
Which is weird.
And Narration Man is back at it again, unfortunately. As he says...
this might be future Midoriya in this particular situation,
yes.
But I couldn't tell.
You know,
it definitely didn't feel like it last chapter.
I mean, it is used in future Midoriya narration boxes, but at this stage, you just don't
know.
We
have been so, wild and loose with
fool
those.
Fool me once, fool me twice, fool me... So how many times? Oh my goodness, yes.
157.
What Mirio Togata had imbued in her now bloomed into the resolve to be rescued.
And it frustrates me so much because this is the Typhlosion chapter.
Whoa.
And he's my favorite Pokemon, but we get another mediocre one.
How many of them Mewtwo's? 150? Gotta catch it. That new Pokemon DLC.
I'm talking Gen 2. That's
Pokemon
not
DLC. I'm going to catch them all in the swords. No,
you're going to catch them all.
I got Shiba.
Pokemon. Yeah, so then we get a flashback of when she hugged him and he was like, I'm going to protect you back, before
back
all this happened.
Good old days.
And he's like, I won't let you go. Not again. And then you wanted to talk about this page.
Okay, so bear in mind, I'm currently reading this on the fancy tablet. Oh my goodness, because I'm reading digitally. And you flick that page, and then you see Midoriya grab Eri, and a giant hand. And you're like, well, that's a I know that Horikoshi does like his hands. It's a bit odd that we have just a page with a giant hand. And then you flip it and you're like, it's a double page spread and it's actually, a perspective motif Overhaul action. And it's pretty cool. As he reaches with his big hand, it's just perspective. And he shouts really angry because he's overhauled the is he breaking the platform that he's on?
He is breaking the platform he's on.
That's probably not a safe decision to be making.
Well,
right
he's
now.
Trying to get down there to her as quickly as possible, and that ground is just simply in the way.
Yes, that makes sense. And he shouts, "Give her back!" And Midoriya's like, question mark exclamation point, how do you say that? And then Eri's horns that is doing stuff, and then the Tower of Power comes crumbling down as Overhaul is overhauled it, and Midorius, he says a naughty word, so we'll just say, darn, I can't dodge in midair. And
I was going to say, then when you talk about the composition, we both really like the composition of this page. So it's like Overhaul's kind of breaking out of the panel box that he's in.
Yes.
And then his finger, like the in betweens of his fingers, and like the area underneath
separate the different panels.
They're all underneath him. One big problem we have is that it's very clear that he's breaking out of a panel. Now, that doesn't seem like it should be a problem because that a lot of times that can indicate motion or make it feel like motion, but he's covering up almost all of the panel. In fact, there's just this one random little line that tells us that there's a panel there, but this would have been more effective if we could see more of that panel border for him to be breaking out of. Or on the flip side, if you simply got rid of that, then instead of him breaking out of a panel, he's creating all of the panels on the page with his movement. Either would be cool, but having this line right here, how it is currently, instead of either moving it over a bit so you could see more of it or completely getting rid of it, really... I don't know. It confuses my eye ever so slightly. It's not a huge deal, but it could have been perfect, and he just had to screw it up with a little bit of a lie. Like, it actually makes it from a plus ultra composition to just a plus composition.
Oh no, this composition did not go beyond. Oh no, unfortunate. But yes, we do see Midoriya squeeze Eri, and he's saying, "I'm not letting you go, no matter what." It's like a hug, you know, a protective hug, and because he's remembered all them dark days in the alleyway when she ran away, and then again when she was all like, "Midoriya can't save me, he ain't nothing." Oh no, and then he, you know, she left him again. Oh no, and then Midoriya was like, "I can't let you go through that anymore." He's bad times, and then he thinks back, and Miri was like, "So, what sort of hero do you hope to become? One strong enough so that no one ever has to worry about me." That's what Midoriya says. A hero who always wins, as he holds Eri tightly. One who always saves the day. And then he goes, "Ah," and I'm not going to shout it.
As he swings his left leg back so that he can do a kick. And then for some reason, which is all of a sudden become Full Metal Alchemist.
Whoa.
No, seriously, look at the patterns on
the law
on the creations.
Of equivalent exchange.
Well, no, seriously, look at the patterns on the pillars all of a sudden.
Super, like, Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah, and I took a look back.
It wasn't
I mean, you can, no, you, it isn't. And we've seen them in motion before. Mm. They've never been like this. You can kind of see, like, some marks that are kind of similar in the sense that, like, how it's always in rectangles in Full Metal Alchemist, like, yeah. After it's done, you can see maybe a little bit of that in like the actual pillars, but you know, that could be more of a coincidence of just the inking, because even that's not terribly consistent. And you could, you know, chalk that up to, well, in that particular part of the stone, it was just a flat surface. Like, it's not a problem, but here, this is just straight up Full Metal Alchemist, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, what? Happened? We saw, like, what?
I mean, if you're gonna borrow from the best, right?
Well yeah, but at the same time, this is the only time they really appear like this, and it's just it's such a big framed moment that I'm like, that
it throws you off.
It threw me off. Which seems to be kind of the theme of this week, this week's chapters is just constantly being thrown off by things of like, what a strange art choice.
Okay. You thought that was odd. Let me hit you with the next page, because this one threw me for a loop. Okay, so, as you mentioned, Midoriya has, like, this swinging leg, and then he just vanishes, and we get a crack, and something has happened. Something, like, the Full Metal...
You're right. It's,
Alchemist pillars have been
cracked.
He's
just gone.
But he's disappeared, and then Overhaul's like, question mark, exclamation point, that's Midoriya's line. And then, boom, an explosion happens. Is this above the ground?
Honestly, I'm not entirely sure.
Wow.
So the implication is supposed to be that the wind pressure from his kick, you know, he got launched into the air,
yes,
and stuff like that. However, he brought his leg back and he began kicking straight up. So if I know anything about like this kind of stuff, like his momentum was pushing him down. Yeah,
he's
at the very least, that kick should not have sent him straight up in the air.
What, like,
because what it almost feels like happened is that he did the kick, and then all the air pressure somehow ended up going straight down, like he overkicked magically somehow, which means he would have spun, which I guess could be why he's upside down. So maybe he kicked too much, and then he kind of just followed through with the kick so much that it ended up kind of ending pointing down, which I guess could technically have happened because we're doing kind of free-falling aerial combat. But at the same time, the conveyance here isn't any.
It's
not,
it's
even
confusing.
That it's poor, it's that there just isn't any.
It's jarring and confusing.
The point where when Midoriya's like, huh, it's not a joke of like, oh wow, Midoriya didn't realize that this could happen or that like this would happen. It's it almost comes off as the reader being like, I'm sorry, what just happened? Because this is dumb. This is plot convenience. And why the heck isn't Nedry catching him? Oh, right. She disappeared from the story.
On that coffee break. No, because we've seen Midoriya do, like, the, you know, downward kicks loads. So why not just do that? And then it would all make sense. I'm confused. But yes, whoa, huh? He's suddenly outside. And we do see there's, like, a hole. There was already a hole in the floor. Why is there another hole? I'm confused. What's going on? Yes, but ba-dum, 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 that's Midoriya's heart. And he's thinking, I tried to kick and somehow got blown away. Maybe it's like All Might's New Hampshire Smash, as we
saw.
Except
that obeys the laws of physics and is clear and understandable.
You know, direction, gravity, all that. You know, so that happened during the final exams arc when All Might absolutely bodied Midoriya right there. Oh my goodness. Yes, and using sheer pressure to blast through the air. That's what the New Hampshire Smash does. And then Midoriya says, wait, I lost control like when I fought Kachan. That's what he's thinking. If that's the case, then my leg...
And then we think about when he punched the robot.
Way back in the day.
Which is like, that. What does that have to do with this?
Well, he went, you know, he went all out.
Well, no, but he's specifically like, wait, I went, you know, like, I lost control when I fought Kachan. Shows a flashback of a completely different incident. Saying it's like, well, if that's the case, and then he looks at his legs, and this, the part about his legs, it's like, I don't consider this like a problem if he's not putting certain elements of this together, because there's only been one instance of it. But he has used his quirk at 100% before. And not broken any bones, and it's not been like a life or death situation. Specifically at the sports festival, he used it to blow away the fire from Shoto. And the thing that we were thinking about with that is like, well, he didn't actually really make contact with anything. Like they're like, yeah, he didn't make contact with anything. And I mean, it was at least in the anime. It seemed like maybe not the most dramatic motion ever, but it was more than a little bit. But he didn't hit anything, so there was no, you know, equal and opposite reaction of blowback. Now, obviously, you know, moving too much with that much power going through him could shred himself by himself. But I'm just like, I was thinking of that when I read this, and I'm like, oh well, I mean that's such a little thing, he might not even remember it. But he's just thinking about his legs, like, well, this should be. Let me just see like the crash again of what just happened in Ryukyu being like, what was that shockwave just now? And looking very closely at this particular image, we do not see Nedry.
Nedry doesn't exist. She's not in these next
chapters. I'm just saying, we're being thorough here. We're being thorough. I do not see Nedry.
Nedry Watch is very disappointed.
I see Uraraka, I see Floppy, I see Sir Night Eye, and I see Ryukyu.
And Nedry's out for tea. But Uraraka says, Deku, he! Exclamation mark, and then Overhaul's just standing there, and he's angry.
He's getting up, and he's very bloody because he took a lot of damage in this piece, and he's repairing himself, and we get to see what that looks like. And once again, like, oh my god, it looks like we've seen him repair things before. This looks somehow even more Full Metal Alchemist than.
Where's Ednal? That's what I want to know. Get those guys in here.
Human transmutation, not
that's
a good.
Bad,
I can't
bad news.
Say I recommend it.
Uh oh, that's bad news. But yes, she Chizuki, he's angry, and he says, "This is why I don't touch her. Never taught her how to use it. But still, somehow she." And he's reconstructing his arm. Blam.
To be clear, his arm wasn't torn off. It was just looked like it was pretty badly damaged. So he's just fixing himself. Just to be clear with that.
Yes. And Eri, you bad girl. You're still mine. He walks over towards Big Cheerios, who does not see it coming. And he says, "For the old man's dreams, I still need you, Eri." And then Ryukyu says, "Oh no!" And then Night Eye and Froppy are here. And Night Eye says, "You guys will be fine." And then Big Cheerios is going to get it. At the very least, he's not coming after you for now. Oh, the big Cheerio just gets, oh, he just gets taken out. He's heading above ground in pursuit of Midoriya and Eri. That's when he kills Midoriya. Dun, dun, dun. Big Cheerio just got absorbed. R.I.P. And
at this point, I know this is not what's happening in the story, but I think what's really happening is he's so delirious from all the, like, blood loss that he's not thinking clearly.
Overhaul?
And that's, no, Night Eye. And that's, oh, yes. That's my fix to this particular part.
Okay.
No, our how to fix the arc will happen after next week's. Will happen in next week's episode, oh, or whatever, yeah, the arc ends.
You could do your own little episode on that one. But then see...
could too. I've heard your fixes.
Yeah, my theory is just skip this five. So yes, we
this is your idea.
We see Uravity, and she's like, oh, he can't dash. The bush just falls over. My body want to run, but can't. Thud, right, ow, like right into the floor, the face plant. And good thing she's got the helmet on, yikes. Ryukyu asks Night Eye, you've foreseen this? We can't just sit here after hearing that. And then Night Eye, who, let me remind you, is still in a bad way. He says, in the state you guys are in, even if you pursue him, you can't win. And then, you know what? Fair play. Uravity, she's not backing down. You know, that's what I like to see. She's getting loads of rocks ready. She's saying, floating the rocks. So, and then she's saying, so we're just supposed to do nothing? There's no telling what the future holds. Oh my goodness. And then Night Eye is thinking about that time that Midoriya said something similar. Smash right through that future. And he's like, all them kids, ellipses. And then, a downright, like, beastly overall here in shadow is looking pretty scary. And Night Eye says, Mirio should be beyond that hole in the wall. Take care of him, Froppy. Uravity, Ryukyu, Ellipses, my favorite character right there. Get me to the surface. And then Midoriya thuds on with his iron soles. He's landed after being flung up into the air very mysteriously. And then he's saying, he's thinking, my body's on fire. No, it's cold. Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. That's his heart. Even though I just used 100%, no broken bones? What's more? And then he says, my whole body's healed. And then he looks at Eri and...
I just want to point out that he thinks that my body, it's on fire. No, it's cold. Thought bubble. Then the next thing, next panel below it, just floating words is no broken bones. What's more? And I'm just like, be consistent.
Well, no, I could see him thinking that. It's like, oh, my whole body's
healed.
Well,
no, I'm saying be consistent with your word bubbles. Like, so oh, the yes. first one, it's in a word bubble, actual word bubble,
and then it's
or a thought bubble. And then the next one is just floating text. I'm like, be consistent.
I mean, we've had that problem this whole volume, Mark. Oh, boy.
Whereas we used to not have this problem. What happened? It used to be like an occasional, it was just missed. Like, whatever. Here, it's like, no, it's actively confusing. This one isn't confusing, but the fact that, like, I notice it because it has been confusing is the problem.
It's more noticeable on a page where it doesn't occur these days, which is really disappointing.
Yes.
But yes, then Midoriya looks at Eri. Oh, Eri just looks cute as a bun here. And she's like, is this your power? Oh, Midoriya asks, is this your power? As the horn is...
And good. Then his spider sense tingles.
Oh, Mary Jane. And then he's like, what?
Except...
Oh, are you going to...
I was leading you into that. It's like, except...
Except some bad stuff. He's going through it. Bad stuff's happening. Because he's like, what? What now? And then some... weird noises. It sounds like crick, some bone breaking.
His body is tearing itself apart because it's still running at 100%.
It's like my body is getting pulled apart from the inside. And then he says, you can't regulate your own power. Something
then Overhaul says, and this entire thing, like, you initially are like, oh, it's talking about Midoriya. And it's like, no, it's Eri. And it's Overhaul's like, you can't regulate your own power. And then we see a picture of Midoriya, and then it's something triggered it. But now, and once again, you could still think it's talking about Midoriya, because yes. Like, wow, that power boost. And then he's like, you don't know how to stop it, Eri. And we just see more, like, rock pillars, except they look like they have throughout the rest of the arc, and not just Full Metal Alchemist
yes,
ones.
Those
and
are then, like the original.
And then we just see a giant rock dragon with Big Cheerios kind of like mask on top of its
Big
mouth,
Cheerios
and inside of its mouth
this
is
big.
And then inside of its mouth is a overhaul, and it's like, oh, okay.
Oh,
this is his final form.
This final form. How big was Big Cheerios? Like, you know,
he was decently big when he powered up.
He wasn't this big. Oh boy.
Well, this guy seems to be pretty. Like a lot of him is rock.
This is the biggest Cheerio right here, I think. Yes, but Midoriya actually is a pretty cool panel of Midoriya. He's looking determined, and then Overhaul, who's like half chest. He's like one of them centaurs, but like in Big Cheerio's mouth, which is really just not a pleasant thought.
There's
at
nothing
all.
Pleasant about this.
No, this is unpleasant, and he says, "Rewinding humans. That's Eri's power. Depending on how she uses it, she
also
could,
a different font.
She could. Is it? From what? From his usual one? Yeah, but you know.
No, you're right. It's the usual one. It's just much smaller. Yeah, it's the same letters. Okay,
he's got,
sorry.
He's got his unique final form energy talk here. Rewinding humans. That's Eri's power. Depending on how she uses it, she could revert a person back into a monkey. You'll be destroyed if you don't let her go. Everything she touches is rewound back into non-existent existence. That's the nature of her cursed quirk. Try saying that five times fast. Oh my goodness. Hand her over. Annihilating her is the only way to stop it. He's not happy at all. And then Midoriya says,
he's not whelmed.
Well, a cheeky Young Justice reference right there. Oh my goodness. Yes, and then Midoriya tugs on the cape. He's made a little, I don't know, papoose, but like backwards for Eri.
He has tied her to his back with the cape.
Just you know, what do the capes do? They protect the little girls just like it's happening again. Oh, so nice. And then,
she's still technically wrapped in it.
Yes, and then he says, no way, tug. I get it now. The instant my legs broke, before I could even feel the pain, she turned back the clock for me. Seems like a pretty kind-hearted quirk to me. Oh boy, and then Eri's crying. Aw. And then Midoriya says, having experienced it, I have a feel for it now. Which, I don't know. This one.
Yeah, no. This was this like, one, oh, I don't know. Is this Goku being like, oh, okay, so like I got the Super Saiyan God form, and now just my body just remembers that kind of power.
He
now
gets
that I've
the knack
had.
For
it's
being
just, like,
godly
wow,
pretty quick.
You got used to that so anime protagonist fast that it bothers me. Like, Monkey D. Luffy did not get used to like new levels of power this fast. Ichigo sometimes did. Naruto absolutely did not.
But this is like,
well, I guess he did at the very, very end of the story, but an argument could be made that he was so used to dealing with hacks level powers that, you know, it wasn't as big of a change as going from like not that to it. But
this
here
is a couple of panels, Max.
This is seconds.
Oh boy.
And now that could be bravado, but considering how almost everything in this series has been literally face value with everything that's said,
oh boy,
I have to assume that he's being serious with that. And, yeah.
He continues, I can sense how fast my body gets rewound by her quirk.
Now, that might be true. That, like, the feeling of it might just be like, no, I just, I can feel it, like, being torn apart and then fixing itself. That could potentially.
So I'll have to just keep smashing myself up a little faster than that. Rip, rip. And then we get the body shot. One for all. Full cowling. 100%. Wow. Eri, mind lending me a hand here. Volume 17. Limited.
Done. I threw it on my bed.
Boom. It's done. It's finished. Ooh, finito.
I'm so
same hero time.
It's done. It's done. We're going right into the scores.
Hit me.
I gave Lemillion. Oh, sorry, I gave Lemillion.
A 156.
I gave that, was it a 3.5? If memory serves.
You're talking about the chapter.
I gave the chapter.
Because the volume is also called the million.
No, I gave it, I believe, a 3.5.
Oh, okay. Yes.
If I didn't, well, then it's a retroactive change because I should have.
Okay.
I'm giving 156
a four.
It's not as bad because it doesn't literally spit in the face of the entire point of the series.
Okay.
But it handles nothing well. There are so many plot conveniences, and not just like, oh, well, characters happen to show up at time. It's like, well, no, like we have something act one way just for the plot that is not how it has worked in any other portrayal, and there's no reason to think that he would have given him, or even a logical reason that he would have given him anything but the best to the like quirk enhancer to save them. And then we get like Nedry disappear. We get all of just the other just terrible like art choices. Like why is Amaterasu? Why is it a fireball? No, it's a cloak. Where's Nedry? This plot shouldn't have even gotten this far because where is she? The pacing, the understanding of what's happening, it's poor. We get flashbacks because everything has gone on for so long that he needs to make sure that we remember the stuff explained like four chapters ago. That takes up a page because he's just trying to get through it. No, this chapter is horrible.
Spicy. Yikes. Okay, so that was a flat four?
That was a flat four.
Okay.
It is not as bad as Lemillion, but it's garbage.
Yeah, I'm just looking back. This chapter is honestly...
It does almost nothing right.
It's really a mess. Like, I'm sorry to say it, but it is a mess. Like, Lemillion, at least, you know, you had that cool flashback. But, like, this... Every time I think something cool happens, something dumb happens. And I'm really annoyed.
Where did this meow come from?
What does that mean?
Why is it there?
So, like, I've been, like, saying the whole time... Where's the Ryukyu girls? I bet you there's some and big Cheerios. I bet you there's big crack going on in there. And we, you know, fun stuff. I'm Irish, but yes.
Apparently nothing for 20 minutes.
Well, you know, and they come crashing down at the end of the last chapter, and you're like, oh my good golly gosh, this is going to be exciting next week. And next week happens, and you're like, what is this baloney? How long? What the quirk booster that was just. Feeling off today and decided to wake up a little late and then they all team up and we do see Nedry's quirk breakdown finally at long last, and you're like, you know what, there you go, big three represent. Nedry's finally getting her moment to shine, taking out a big threat. That's pretty cool. She's a pretty cool character, right? It sure would be cool to see her. That is perhaps, like, you know, the nicest bit, seeing them all team up and take down Big Cheerios. That's pretty cool. But you're immediately like, okay, so you see fake Midoriya, and then you're like, oh, okay, so there's going to be some League of Villains shenanigans. And then the League of Villains show up. Obviously, from every point onwards that Nedry is gone, you're like, Now where the holy heck is Nedry right now? Because I'm sure she would be pretty handy to take out Touga and Mr. Compress twice, who are right here, where she literally would be floating above. Oh, she would be super handy a couple of minutes later when Overhaul does that Tower of Power nonsense and you know, you just slap him with one of them wave corkscrew dealies and it would be job done, end of the day. But no, our protagonist has to have our, you know, super fight at the end that nobody wants, because we've already had these fights dragged on like way too long and everybody just wants this. I think even Horikoshi wants this over this stage, but oh boy. And then don't even get me started on like that whole thing with the so when Mr. Compress, He is already clunky enough explaining how they got up there in the first place. But then when he goes back down, and then, well, you just get... there's, like, a stick, one of them poles is in his way, and we don't see Mr. Carpers. He's gone. I imagine he just gets squished by all them rocks. Who knows? And then the Tower of Power is all happening. We get that nonsense, like, super clunky, in the middle of nowhere, like, exposition dump about the quirk, and you're just like, really? Right now? Right now is the best
time. Also, most of this we've had before.
And it just completely, like, really just sledgehammers whatever pacing you had, just really knocks it in there. Oh boy. And it's at least the cape. You don't even know it's the cape when you first see it. You're like, why is the shading so dark? Oh, that, what is that? That looks like one of the portals from Kirigiri. Like, what's going on there? Oh, and then it's just a mess. It's just a mess. Like, really. She wants to be safe now. And you're like, you know what? After reading that, I don't really care. I do not really care, to be honest. And you're just like, this is a disappointment. This is not it, Chief. Okay, so you gave it a 4. Yikes. I do like the little bit at the start, but 4.5, that's the best I can give it. Like,
holy cow.
It's not good. It's not
that
good.
Is your lowest score.
It's not
I'm
good.
Pretty
like,
sure.
This
oh my
me,
god.
This makes me angry. This chapter makes me angry. You can tell I'm angry. I should not be raising my voice this much. I'm in a healing mode right now, but I'm not happy. Not at all. 157, Mark. What did you think about that one?
Okay, yeah. I'm legitimately shocked. I mean, I'm not unhappy. But I'm just,
It's a mess.
I didn't think you would go below 4 or below 5 until next week's podcast. This chapter is also garbage, but it's not as bad of garbage. So we get the beginning with our just not understanding, like, just the confusing narration. We get that legitimately cool page, and yeah, it has a little bit of a problem in it, but I can't say that I hate it or even dislike it. I can think of a way to easily improve it, but whatever. And then it starts being promising, and then we get into, like, him thinking about things again, and then just the sledgehammer of, why are we all of a sudden in Full Metal Alchemist? What? And then there's just the confusing part in the middle that just grinds everything dead halt of, like, what happened with the kick? Then a really poor attempt at an explanation that still doesn't show us how it happened because of the angle and everything. Like, he's trying to imply that he overkicked and the kick went down, but what? That's not how literally any of his other kicks have ever worked or whatever. But, you know, whatever. Nedry's still just not here. She'd be super helpful right now because now they're all above surface. We just get more of Overhaul being Overhaul, and then we get the bombshell of apparently Midoriya's been foreseen to die, blah, blah, blah. We all know that's not happening, which just makes that, honestly, it gets rid of any of, like, the tension for me, because I'm like, oh, you've seen he's going to die? Well, great. He's the protagonist. This isn't the end of the story. You can throw him at stuff, and he will not die. So you've set up stakes. So what you're telling us is that everything we knew about how your quirk was and from your over 20 plus year career is just, like, everything about that's wrong because, you know, all that stuff. That's what is telling me that's going to happen. So I don't like that stuff either. And then we just get the, like, all of a sudden, like, the quirk is 100% and the giant dragon. And I'm just like, I just don't care. I just don't care.
Oh my goodness.
I'm going to give this a 4.9. Like,
oh, okay,
I like,
okay.
Five is an average. This is the most average. This is below average. It's not much below average, but it there's some interesting parts, but it does other things so poorly. It just gets me, but it's not a dumpster fire like the other chapter, like last chapter, but it's still bad.
I like this more than 156. Yes.
Well, I do too. Notice how I gave 156 a 4, and I gave this one a 4.9. 4.9 is a high score, Luke.
Well, didn't get that extra 0.1 at the end of the day. Yes, okay. I'll hit it with a 5.4. I'm not feeling generous enough to get a 5.4. Okay, so I like this one more, But it still ain't that great now.
So what I'm hearing is we're just 0.5 apart this week. Sorry.
Don't you be hitting them. Oh, yeah, I suppose it is point. Don't be hitting me with the maths, Mark. I'm so furious, I can't even think.
What,
numbers.
So we're not recording at square root of 16?
Oh, don't be saying, I'm confused already. Okay, so, you know, there's some cool shots, at least, in this. Like, I do like, I think the, I know you had the problems with the panel layout.
As I said, with that one little thing, like, it's a nitpick, sure. It's definitely a problem, and my suggestion either way fixes the problem that we both talked about, but it's still pretty good.
It's a unique and creative way of portraying that action, I think, and I think
still count those as some of the good pages of this volume.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, that is it's one of the cooler spreads. And, you know, we have had some cool spreads. I will give this volume back. We've had some cool spreads, so that was cool to see, and you know. Listen. I'm just confused with what the heck is going on with this kick. Because when you were like, shouldn't he be going down? I was like, yeah, he should be going down. Why is it like this?
Because he needs to get above ground, Luke.
But it doesn't.
Conveniently.
If the blast is, he should be going down. Because he's kicking. That's how it works. We've seen in the flashback for New Hampshire, we saw that's what happened, and it's doing it wrong. Oh.
He could have done something clever, like it had him smart his way out of it, but no, we just...
Surely the anime fixed
it. I don't know. I have no motivation to look at this point. I'm so done with this arc.
Like, that page doesn't make sense. You know? Like, it doesn't make... Like, I'm like, what happened? And then he explains, oh, it's been to New Hampshire.
Even then, it's not a good explanation.
It doesn't make sense. It don't make sense, Chief. And then, you know, seeing everybody, you know, I did actually like, you know, like, you see the rest of the Ryukyu girls, and they're, like, really trying their best. And even though they're, like, obviously completely knackered and, like, no energy, but like that panel with Uraraka, and we haven't had good Uravni content in a long while, but that panel when she's like, you know, there's no telling what the future holds, let's give it her all, I'm like, you know what, fair play, at least somebody still got their heart in the game at this stage, because I'm losing mine pretty fast, and you know that, so that was cool. There was cool moments, and while, okay, I know you said, like, the tension is kind of gone here with, like, Eri and Midoriya figuring out that he can smack... I do, like...
You also didn't like the fact that he just immediately figures out the power.
No.
Now, granted, he could be, you know, trying to put on a brave face or just, yes, you know, like, talking
it's
big.
Clunky.
But this story is not a story where we've pretty much ever seen a character do that. Everything that they say is always exactly what they mean.
It's clunky, no doubt, and forced. But like, I won't lie. Like, the concept of him, like, you know, the guy who smashes all the time, having to smash himself, Mark, constantly to make this God mode, one for all, full counting, 100% actually work. I think that's a little interesting. I like, you know, despite all our troubles, it's not the worst cliffhanger we've had in a volume.
No, it is not the worst cliffhanger.
And you're like, you know what? At least it means it might all be over soon. You know, so I'm not saying, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but, you know, I'm optimistic. But, boy... Big Cheerios really went all out and did a super creepy transformation there. R.I.P. to the big man himself. He did get a bit creepy towards the end there, but I didn't want him to go like this, Mark. I wouldn't wish this on anybody. And poor Nomoto, he fell down. Overhaul's goons are not having a good time these two chapters. But yeah, you know, like the big battle at the end. I know how it all plays out, so I'm not going to say too much about that. But, you know, as of right now, I'm like, you know what? Smash the body up 100%. Eri's going to lend a hand. He's going to have some good times with that. Not perfect, but you know, at least it kind of you know, strained out there towards the end, just a little bit, to get me at least somewhat interested in the next chapters to come. So yes, a 5.4 I gave it. So, you know, not perfect, but at least I found some redeeming qualities, which, quite honestly, looking back on what, like, I really don't... I don't like that 156 at all. Oh, no.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
What do you think of the overall volume?
Oh, well, that's the million dollar.
That's the million dollar question.
Oh, very good, Mark. Oh, that's.
Well, I suppose before we do that, we need to talk about the Tonkabon itself.
Yes.
Yes. So we've talked about this before, that this volume has the most cohesiveness to its cover, spine, and back.
Oh, yes.
On the front is Lemillion standing, you know, tall, proud, and powerful, despite the stone pillars around him, and he looks great. He's on the binding, it's yellow, and then on the back we see Eerie clutching his cape. White background and looking up, you know, symbolizing hope. And then for just whatever reason, we have Midnight is the small little picture, but it's original art and I like Midnight, so like I don't have a problem with it. It's just this thing could have been a perfect, you know, visual presentation if that had been literally anyone else affiliated with main story.
Yeah, but
literally anybody else.
It's still pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie.
But yes, and those are the positive things I have to talk about with this volume. Would you want to talk about the extras in it?
That little sketch.
Oh, I take that back. The Betancourt sketch is pretty good.
The Betancourt sketch is pretty good. You've talked twice. I do like the when it like it is actually like an improvement when you get to see the alternate chapter cover for.
Yeah, that alternate chapter twice. Cover was terrible.
The final one that they used?
Oh, no. The final one that they use is terrible. The one that they didn't use is great.
Yeah. The concept that they use. Like, really? Like, what happened? But yeah, at least we got to see it. That was cool. And, you know, like, enough work went in there that, you know, it was cool that he was able to actually put it in. So I like that, like, you know, so that was nice. But yeah. You know, and the comic cover, even though that was part of the chapter, that was pretty cool as well. But yeah, it was, you know, a satisfying, I think you're right. I think in terms of like total cover spine cohesiveness, this volume wins. But I don't know, it's like the opposite of don't.
That's the only thing it wins.
Yeah, don't judge a book by its cover because
you know
cover,
what? I take that back.
The cover is good.
It might be about to win another award.
Oh.
Luke, what's your score?
Worst volume in the series award? I don't know. Okay, so, look, whatever I say at the end of the day, it's going to be more positive than you, because that's just the way we roll. But really, this volume is a disappointment at the end of the day. When you put all them cards on the table, when you see how excited and how, you know, this overhaul arc, we were like, you know what? Volume 14... pretty good. Volume 15, volume 16. Oh, all those Kirishima moments. Oh, Tamaki fight. Oh, you know, this is going pretty well. And volume 17 starts. We were already a little bit, you know, volume 16 ended, and we're
Volume 16 didn't end strong.
It was a bit ropey, and I'll tell you what, it definitely continued. Oh boy, yeah, like. So, like this volume starts with the Toga and Twice. Kind of team up, and it's probably the strongest part of the volume by looking at it all together. It definitely has the most entertaining moments. Like, you have that scene with them explaining their quirks involuntarily. The whole Toga Twice relationship here is very well done. And seeing them even though it's Midoriya that does that at the end of the day, really it's their actions that result in Irenaka getting taken out. And I really, really disliked all that wibbly wall nonsense. So, you know, I was like, you know what, good for you too. At least we don't have any more wibbly wobbly nonsense. Thank you, Togen Twice. So yes, I did like that. But after that, and when you get into the Mirio section, which, to be honest, like, it's really, we're focused on this from what, those like 3 or 4 chapters to the rest. So this is a decent chunk of the volume. It's not even like, you know, you can overlook this. This is like the meat and potatoes right here. And oh boy, it's not very tasty. No, like, it's so, like, you know, we were going fine up until, well, I don't know if we would even say we're going, but initially, you know, it wasn't that bad until you get to the scene when they get into that big room. Once the hallway fight was nice, with Sasaki and Nomoto, and you really got to see Mirio's power there. But once they get into that big darn room, it all goes wrong. You've got that nonsense with the gun. You've got the overhaul fallen for 20 years. You got Mirio decided to not use his power that would work perfectly, and doing something that would put him in immediate danger, because that's what the plot necessitates.
Also him floating just for no reason.
And then, okay, the shining moment of this scene is the flashback, and it's really the only decent part of the second half of the volume. And I still think, like, the pages that contain those flashbacks, right up until, you know, I think it's beautiful. Just that single panel with the bullet going in and then his kind of reaction. That is beautiful writing. Really good. It really makes you care about this. Like, obviously, we care about Mirio already from what we've seen of him, but you get I think you put it as, like, his hero life flashing before his eyes.
It's his entire hero's journey.
Journey, yes.
Flashing before his eyes.
And it's a beautiful
scene. And
it
absolutely feels like that entire scene was written way beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
Including his getting shot. Like, that feels like that was written probably when the character was created.
Yeah, totally. But, you know, and, like, to be fair, like, this is really, like, in terms of where we are now, this might as well be his death. Like, really? Like, in terms of his significance to the plot, like, it's done, you know? So, was he, like, an airy character?
It may have been better off if he had the hero's sacrifice.
I mean, you know, I would have hated to see it, but, like...
Or hero's ultimate sacrifice.
Maybe, but, and you know... That's the problem, because he doesn't get it, and this, what could have happened next, Mark, could have been the shining example. This could have been the moment that fans praise this series for. This is what this series means. This is a man who has lost all his fantastic power, but he's still going all out. He's giving it all. He's going beyond. Because that's what a hero does, and it's not about the power you have, it's about the person you are to save the day. And then, no, we get that taken away from us in, like, 3 pages.
Because it's about the power you have, and not the person you are with the, underneath.
And the protagonist has to save the day. And if that's not the biggest load of just baloney, if that doesn't just make you mad... I don't know, Mark. Like, I don't know. Like, it's really, like, you have it right there. It's right there. And you're just disappointed at the end of the day. You're disappointed. And what happens afterwards is, listen, all right? We Midoriya coming in, and it just gets from bad to worse, really. Like, you have nice moments like, oh, Rocklock, he redeems himself just before he becomes, you know, not important to the story anymore. They get rid of Eraserhead, I suppose. Nighteye, he goes out, and that's a big whoops moment, I suppose. But, like, really, like, a lot of the magic is gone from there, you know? And then it keeps on just kind of descending. Like, there's moments, of course. We get them nice splashes. That moment with Eri saying she doesn't believe Midoriya can save her. Like, that really does, that hits as well. Like, there's definite moments, but the magic is gone. And all of the, you know, preceding, or all of the forthcoming events, they don't feel, like, the tension isn't there. Like, I'm like, I don't care at this stage, you know? Like, you get 156, and you're like...
I think you nailed it right there. We don't care anymore.
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, I'm like, I don't know, like all the, I don't know what it is, but it's gone, you know? Like 156 when you finally, Eri finally wants to be saved, and you're like, honestly, yeah, I'm happy for her and all that, but really, like, it's not there anymore, and it's disappointing. It really is. No, it's disappointing. Like, you know, like this arc really was. We were really impressed when it kicked off. We were, you know, we were really impressed. We were
prepared to eat our words.
Yeah,
we were like, I guess we're going to eat our words, and we couldn't be happier.
Yeah, we were like, you know what? This overhaul business is pretty good so far. It was so well set up, so smartly crafted at the start. All the pieces laid into place, and now it feels like he's just smashing through all that. No pun intended. To just fast forward to the ending. It's like he stopped caring. That's why we've stopped caring, because he stopped caring. He just wants to get to the end. So why should we care? Because really, that's what it is. Like there's all the careful production has just been demolished here in this volume. And really, you're just like, at this stage, get me to the final fight. Get me out of this arc.
Yeah.
Get me out of this.
What's the number?
The number.
Do it. Give it.
Oh.
I promise mine will be lower.
A 6. There you go.
A 6.
A 6. I'll give it a
mine
6.
Mine is very much lower.
Yes. I'll give it a 6. It's a low 6. Erring on high 5 territory. But yes, I'll give it a 6.
Okay. So I have been trying to come up with a good score for this one.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we start out, and you're right, the toga twice stuff is decently fun. In the beginning, the Mirio fight shows promise, but then it just goes nowhere. We have the all the stuff that happens in that like two like couple seconds that just can't happen, like with both him and the overhaul in the air, and then the moto somehow getting the bullet and stuff like that, and all that stuff happening, forcing all of that. We do have the good moment of the flashback, but that's really about it. I hate that chapter. I despise that chapter. It's my contender for the worst in the entire franchise, because it, as you talked about, and as we talked about, it betrays the entire point of the series. It completely spits in the face of the point of the series, of the message of the series. And then another big sin that chapter does is as soon as our protagonist shows up after we've just off screen defeated our hero, like that we were all rooting for, our main character shows up, our protagonist. And that was the moment I realized I no longer care about Midoriya. Like this, I remember feeling similarly when I was originally reading through this, that it was like, I don't really care for Midoriya anymore as a character. Like, he could die, as the prediction said, and I would probably be fine with that if it happened at the end of this arc. Because this arc has just, like, I don't care. Like, all of the other stuff happens. It's not good. We've talked about it. Like, just all of the conveniences, all of the poor, you know, conveyances, just Nejiri disappearing and thus prevent, like, causing half of the plot to happen, because otherwise it simply wouldn't have happened. Because she would have ended it. And then we get to this, and I'm just like, and then we just saw the confusion about like 156, just being like, what happened in this chapter? Like, what actually happened? Because I don't understand. And then we get to 157, and it's like, oh, he unlocked a new power. He can just control it, whatever. I don't care about you, Midoriya, anymore. Move along. If this volume, besides betraying the entire point of the series, has made any big writing sin, it's that I know I'm actually like, don't like Midoriya after reading this volume. I actively do not like the protagonist anymore, in the sense, like, as a character, like, I'm just like, I don't care about you. If anything, I would be fine if you died
after this arc.
Because at the end of this arc, like,
yes.
Come the next couple arcs, I start liking him again. But this arc, it's like, I'm like, if the main character died at the end of this, I would actually be happy, because then we could get somebody else who is infinitely more interesting and better. Because, oh my God, this arc, Midoriya, I'm so beaten down. I don't care. This cover is good. and it's going to boost up my score a little bit for that bit. Okay. But this volume is terrible. It's actually bad. It's actually very, very bad. Like, I'm running out of words for this. There's no real good part of this volume. There's a couple pages here and there that are good. Yes. There's like no chapter that I could be like, this was a really good chapter.
Yeah, no, you're picking out pages. You're not picking out chapters.
I'm breaking out pages.
Moments, not chapters. Yes.
Yes, and even some of those moments, if you look before or after those moments, you're like, what the heck?
Yes.
No, it is actively bad. Mm. I'm giving it a 4.6.
You know what?
It gets a couple little extra points because I do legitimately like the cover and all that stuff.
Yep.
And I do count that. I like the Betancourt art. I like some of the other little like bits in it that are like the extra stuff. But yep. No, it's terrible.
Yep.
And I'm glad we're done with it.
It's been a long 10 weeks.
It will go back on the shelf and I will hopefully never have to open this one up or read it ever again.
Well, you can admire the pretty cover at least. Well, you can do that from the shelf.
As I said, open it up.
Yes.
And read it.
Yes. It's definitely, you know, it is sad to say in a way because, you know, we've 17 volumes we've been through thick and thin. You know, we struggled through USJ, but really, like, and we've been saying it ourselves, like, you know, outside of recordings, like, we actively don't enjoy these chapters, and that is, you know, I'll always enjoy the discussion here with you, Mark, but to a certain extent, like, there's a lack of enjoyment in the material itself that we're covering, that it used to be something that we admired and enjoyed so much that we created a podcast to discuss on a weekly basis, you know?
Yes, but this last, like, month or two has been just a slog.
It has been. And it's disappointing, really.
And we still have another week of it. But once we get to the back half of 18, we're going to get literally anything.
Oh, well, the back half of volume 18 I'm very much looking forward to that.
As I said, it's literally anything else, and that sounds amazing.
I'd say anything else is, like, you know, is actually something quite good, Mark.
At least School Briefs tries, even if it does a terrible job.
Well, what do you mean by that statement?
Well, first of all, we have found School Briefs chapters that we're like, this isn't bad.
Yes.
Which is more than I could say about any chapter in this volume.
Okay, yes. All right, I see what you mean.
School Briefs, I can tell the writer is trying, even if he's doing a really poor job. Here, I just don't understand what's happening.
Oh boy.
Like, it's just like, what is going on, Horikoshi? But that's it. That's it. Moving on. This is the end of the podcast.
Yes, we are going to wrap up the show. As you can imagine, and, you know, I think things got pretty passionate there at the end. Oh boy. But yes, that, you know, I think it was important to get our feelings across. And just watch the subscriber count drop, Mark. Oh my goodness.
I'm aware.
But you know, sometimes.
But I have to be honest with the people.
Sometimes it be like that, and that's the way it gotta be, and that's okay. At the end of the day, your mileage may vary. You know what? If you love Volume 17, let us know. You know, more power to you. They can do so. Well, I'll let them know how they can do so in a little bit. But first of all, Mark, why don't you tell them all where they might be able to find us online?
That's a fair point. They can find us on Twitter primarily. You can find me on Twitter at @chalionx. That's at @chalionx. They can find you, Luke, on Twitter at @lj_Hollywood. And they can find the podcast on Twitter at @HeroNotesPod. And if you want to share this podcast with friends, family, the cashier at your local comic book store that you happen to be going to while wearing masks, gloves, and all that other stuff.
Oh my goodness.
You can find the podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, and iTunes.
Yes, indeedy. And if they were looking to, you know, contact the show, perhaps for a shout-out, perhaps to just let us know what's going on. We're open to any sort of communication.
Your own opinions on this particular
quality.
You know
what? It's a free It's a free world that we're living in. Well, actually, it's a lockdown world that we're living in right now. But less about that. They can email the show at heronotespodcast@gmail.com. Mark, for all the hero notes, vigilante logs, all those related queries, they could be sent right there. Oh, my goodness. But yes.
Oh, snap.
That is indeed the end of the episode. It's been a roller coaster ride of emotion. We didn't know if we would even be recording this week, Mark. But
there was definitely joke talk about us being like, oh no, it got corrupted.
I mean, you know, I think it's made me more sick that I've had to deal with this nonsense. Oh boy. But yes.
Well, then we should finish this up so you can get back to hydrating.
Maybe reading Vigilantes, because at least that made me happy.
Oh, you know what? You make a very good argument.
Wow. Although, no new chapter this week, unfortunately. But yes, it'll be 3 weeks, right? Oh, man.
Well, it's because it's every 2 weeks, and it comes out on the second and the fourth week.
Look at you with your schedules confusing me. Oh, my goodness. But yes, that is the end of the show, Hero Notes. It's been a roller coaster ride of emotion. Be sure, whatever happens, just to keep on staying tuned and keep on being plus ultra, and to make sure, of course, as always, to stay tuned for the very next episode of Hero Notes.
Same hero time,
same hero channel.